Regular Channel 10 viewers will know my guest today, Eric Barnes, as the host of Behind the Headlines. And, of course, he is also the publisher of the Daily News and the Memphis News. And you might not know, although you certainly should, that he's also a published author. He has many short stories out and a couple of novels. The new novel is The City Where We Once Lived. And he's with me today. Eric, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
You actually already signed this in a couple places around town. If any of you are going to be in Portland in the next couple of weeks. Yes. You'll be signing out there at the Big Palace Bookstore. This is I hate to use the word dystopian novel because it seems to be overused, but that's kind of the idea. It's set in the near future. Some things have sort of fallen apart. So tell us what's going on in this particular city.
Yeah, so it's about a city that's been abandoned and then the people who choose to live there. And so there's not been a plague. There's not been a war. It's just, you know, as I was thinking about the book and I was writing the book, it's almost as if New Orleans didn't come back from Katrina or if Detroit didn't make it through its fiscal crisis, or then you can even go back to, you know, New York City in the 70s when it just seemed like it was coming unglued, or certain even Eastern European cities that were kind of destroyed by the Soviets and so on. And so I just got interested in not making a book about a plague or one of these external forces. I mean, there have been some amazing books. The Road comes to mind by Cormac McCarthy. Yeah. I wanted to make it more sort of what kind of choices, and again, these people choose to live there. They could cross the bridge and live basically normally, but they choose not to.
Yeah, and it is sort of set in a city that is divided.
Yes, yeah. So there's a whole thing of there's a north end and south end of a single city, and then the south end being more the suburbs, the north end being the old, you know, original city cut through with a highway, which is true of many American cities that were
very
cut through.
True,
and,
yeah.
You know, in Memphis, you get to, you know, the I-40 going through and thankfully not going through the park and Evergreen and so on. But the way in which highways, and particularly elevated or in this case sunken highways, I'm fascinated by that, the way the Bronx was destroyed by the highways, you know, back in the whatever that was, the 50s and 60s.
Right, right.
And Seattle, where I grew up, where highways kind of cut the city up. And so that's a big part of it. They are isolated by this highway that was built.
Yeah, so... and this is told basically through the eyes of one particular character.
Yes, a narrator who has chosen to move back, who runs a newspaper. Shockingly, the book has nothing to do with me, of course, and is mourning a loss of things, which kind of become clear. And everybody in the book has some reason for having gone there. For they all have a backstory, and his sort of unfolds over time through the course of the book. But much of the book, he tries to just go about and run this little paper and write articles about the history of the city, and he'll pick a building. Or he'll pick the library, and there's all these kind of beautiful architecture and history of factories, and he'll write about that. And then again, the city sort of a series of things begin to happen within the city, so he gets into less historical news and more in the news of the day, and they become sort of targeted by people on the outside and so on.
Yeah, as it turns out, things are not necessarily going all that well for the folks in the south end of the city, which is supposedly the prosperous part.
Right, right. And it's a bit of, you know, I mean, there's a sort of, I don't know, it's somebody... I'm terrible at literary terms. I should be better, but I really am. But I read somewhere that it's an allegory. So I'll say my book is an allegory. and about suburban, you know, sort of the folly of suburban solutions and leaving cities behind, and just that's the way you're going to solve all your problems. I mean, there's nothing wrong with suburbs innately, but it's just both have to work together. You know,
right.
I think strong suburbs help inner cities and strong urban cores help suburbs, and cities that balance that best do best.
Well, clearly, at least some of this is metaphorically about this city.
Sure, yeah. And it is in the sense, I mean, I've lived here now 23, almost 24 years, and I love this city and all its complexity and with all its problems and all its great things. And obviously on the show, on Behind the Headlines and on in the paper, we focus a lot on city issues and city building issues. And as Memphis has gone through over the last 10, but especially the last 5 years, all these kind of interesting rebuilding itself, the downtown, crosstown, just all that sort of, you know, more green spaces, how do you connect with green lines? So all that was somewhere in my mind, definitely. But I very intentionally didn't have a specific city in place. There are canals, and that's clearly kind of derivative of New Orleans. There's a
right.
lot that seems like Detroit, but there's a lot that's like Manhattan. And yes, a lot like, I mean, they're the you know, that doesn't give anything away, that the highway that I referenced before cuts through a park, and that park is then destroyed and turned into subdivisions, which is essentially what nearly happened to Overton Park. So there's all kinds of influence of Memphis, but it's very, very specifically not a certain city out there.
We're talking with Eric Barnes. His new book is The City Where We Once Lived, and it is available at a bookstore near you. And, of course, we always want you to support your local independent booksellers like Novel and Berks and Square Books in Oxford. Yeah. What was your impetus here? What pushed you into this book?
I've always been fascinated by these kinds of issues, and back in, I swear it must have been the early 90s. Rolling Stone magazine did a photo essay on the fall of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, and they did this amazing photo essay. It was either Bucharest or Budapest. I didn't keep it. I've never been able to find that photo essay. But it was this beautiful photography of let's say it was Budapest, and you know, this incredible architecture and these incredible streets that were filthy, and it was almost like a snowstorm. There was so much ash from the nearby factories and the coal power plants, and it was sort of, you know, exposing the folly of how the Soviets had really abused all those Eastern European cities and countries. But I thought it was beautiful. I couldn't stop looking at this incredible photography of these sort of broken cities. And it's a whole sort of genre of photography. William Eggleston does a certain amount of that, and I was an Eggleston fan before I even moved to Memphis and knew he was from Memphis. So I've sort of over the years collected even industrial photography, and I'm from a big blue-collar city, Tacoma, Washington. If you look out from the bay, it's this beautiful – you've got Mount Rainier to the right, and you've got the Olympic Mountains and Peninsula to the left, and this incredible bay. And right in the middle of that is a giant pulp mill, an oil processing plant, and this massive container port, which I spent a lot of time sort of staring out at as a young man. I'm fascinated by that kind of those sort of combinations and the way in which this beautiful landscape is then kind of this awful industrial infrastructures put on top of it. But it also has sort of its own beauty. So there's all this photography of that. So I've always collected, not seriously, but I mean, I have a lot of these books, and I kind of look through them and whatever. And then I thought, well, I was looking to start another book after the other two, and I thought, well, what about if I wrote a book about one of the cities, one of these places? And I really wanted to write a book. I didn't want to have any characters. I just wanted to write a book about these cities, this made-up city. I didn't want to write nonfiction because I don't want to do the research. And so then, you know, of course, as I get into it, I'm like, well, I'm going to have to put characters into it. So I start putting characters into it. And I, you know, then they populate, well, why are they here? And I'm kind of I'm a sort of sloppy writer. I write, you know, 60, 100 pages, and then I stop and say, what do I have? And that's kind of what I did. And so I had some key characters, and their stories intertwine with the city. So that's really how it started. And that's really how, in a way, the next book, which is essentially a prequel to this, comes out next March. And it was a similar way of kind of erratic way of starting a book.
Yeah. I want to talk to you a little bit about the characters because, and I've noticed this in your other books and your other stories, that these characters are all damaged in some way.
Yes, they are, Darryl.
which I think is a large extent what drives them and what drives the story.
Yeah, it's funny. After a friend of mine read my first book, Shimmer, which is pretty dark, but actually is kind of funny in parts.
Yeah.
And my second book was coming out, and we were having lunch, and he hadn't read the second book yet. And he goes, man, I loved your first book, but it was so dark. I hope this next one is a little lighter because you are kind of a funny person and you're fun to be with. But these books, well, Something Pretty is jokeless. It is really, it's a brutal, brutal book. This book is very
tough.
Dark and gets kind of brutal. It's not particularly violent like Something Pretty is. I don't know. I mean, I'm actually a pretty happy person. I'm a parent. I have a good job but there's something, I think there's some sort of, you know, if I get too deep on it, the truth is I probably leave behind a whole lot of issues from my distant past in these books.
Sure.
But none of them are autobiographical, but there's a little bit of truth in all of them. And I think maybe this is my way of sort of leaving some of that darkness behind on the page. And so someday I'll write something funny, I swear. Really will.
You mentioned you've got the next book is coming out shortly, next March, as a matter of fact, which is, we were talking earlier, and you said it's the second book. First time you've had two books by the same publisher, so that would indicate to me that you're sort of you know, you're sort of getting there.
This has been great. Arcade Publishing, which has been around since the, I think, late 80s, is one of the big independent publishers. They've done some amazing work. They're part of a bigger but still independent group in New York. It's the biggest publisher I've been with. They've been fantastic. And they did, we agreed on the next one, which is essentially the prequel to this. I mean, just, it's if this is about a city that's been abandoned and there's this, the world goes on around as normal, sort of normal, the next one is about the world around it, so, and how it's going on normally but not really, and then it does kind of combine a bit with this one, and it's really, I mean, if there were a word for it's happening at the exact same time as this book, so it's not a sequel, not a prequel, but I think for simplicity's sake they'll call it a prequel. It's called Above the Ether, and I'm really looking forward to it. So
great, we'll talk about that when it comes out too. The new book is The City Where, I keep trying to say The City Where Once We Lived instead of Where We Once Lived, but
I do that too. I do. Like, everyone's all write it as The City Where We Once Loved. I actually have all these probably deep psychological, you know, variations on the title, but The City Where We Once Lived is technically it.
Is the new book by Eric Barnes. It is available at a bookstore near you. You can go to his website, which I think is just ericbarnes.com.
ericbarnes.net.
And you can get all the information there. And if you happen to be in Portland in a couple of weeks, he'll be signing it out there at Powell's, the big bookstore there. Or Seattle at Elliott Bay, a great bookstore there too. And of course, get it from one of your local bookstores here in Memphis. Eric, it's always a treat. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.